Right now, a single ChatGPT query burns like 10 times more energy than a standard Google search.
Yeah, it's a staggering amount of power.
Right. And to feed that massive computational beast, the tech industry isn't just trying to rewrite global energy grids. They are actively smuggling sophisticated AI directly into your sunglasses, your video games, and your web browser.
Which is wild when you actually stop to look at the mechanics of it.
It really is. Okay, let's unpack this. Today, we are doing a deep dive into an excerpt from Tekken Night, which basically outlines six explosive tech stories from June 5, 2026. The goal here is simple. We want to bypass the marketing hype and expose the invisible mechanics and the silent risks operating right under the surface of the tech you interact with every single day.
Because when you look at the reality of 2026, I mean, the entire landscape is built on these massive technological contradictions.
Oh, totally.
You have the constraints of the physical world violently colliding with the ambitions of the software industry. And the friction from that collision, it's reshaping literally everything.
And the loudest point of friction right now is definitely energy. Like the sheer amount of electricity required to train and run these massive AI models is just completely unsustainable on our current grid.
Right, the grids are maxed out.
Exactly. Tech giants are desperate. Which brings us to a company called Helion Energy. They just raised a staggering $465 million in Series G funding.
Wow.
Yeah, led by Thrive Capital, with massive backing from Sam Altman. This bumps their valuation up to $15.5 billion.
It's an incredible leap, too, when you consider that just a year prior, in January 2025, they were valued at $5.43 billion.
A near tripling.
Yeah, that near tripling of valuation isn't just a sign of investor confidence. It's actually a barometer of industry panic. I mean, Microsoft has even signed this incredibly aggressive contract with Helion to power their AI data centers by 2028.
So they are betting the farm on nuclear fusion.
They absolutely are.
But the mechanics of how Helion is trying to achieve fusion, that's what justifies that $15 billion valuation. Mm-hmm. I was looking into their architecture, and almost every other nuclear fusion company out there, from ITER to the National Labs, they are basically trying to build the world's most expensive futuristic kettle.
A kettle.
Yeah, a giant tea kettle. They use massive lasers or superconducting magnets to create immense heat from a fusion reaction. And then they use that thermal energy to boil water, create steam, and spin a traditional turbine.
Right.
It is essentially a 19th century steam engine powered by a captive star.
And thermal transfer is inherently inefficient. Every single time you convert energy from one state to another, you know, from plasma to heat, from heat to steam, steam to mechanical motion, you lose a massive percentage of your total output. It's an incredibly leaky system.
Exactly. But Helion, they completely bypass the steam turbine. They are building a direct engine.
No moving parts.
Right. They inject their fusion fuel, which is a mix of deuterium and helium-3, into a vacuum chamber. Then they use these pulsed magnetic fields to compress that plasma until it fuses.
And then it expands.
Yes. When the fusion reaction occurs, the hot plasma rapidly expands outward. As it expands, it actually pushes back against the magnetic fields that confined it. It works exactly like the regenerative braking system in an electric car. It converts that outward pressure directly into an electrical current. No boiling water, no turbines.
What's fascinating here is the massive geopolitical shift this could trigger. The fuel they use, deuterium, you can extract that directly from everyday seawater.
Just normal ocean water.
Yeah. So if Helion actually cracks direct magnetic recovery, any nation on Earth with access to a coastline suddenly possesses a virtually infinite sovereign energy source. The entire global power dynamic, which, you know, has been dictated by the geographical lottery of oil and coal deposits for over a century, gets completely rewritten.
That sounds incredible, but, I mean, we have to maintain a healthy dose of skepticism here. The physics community is watching Helion very closely, and a lot of them are highly doubtful.
Yeah, there's a lot of pushback.
Because unlike their competitors, companies like Focused Energy or Commonwealth Fusion, Helion rarely publishes their findings in peer-reviewed scientific journals.
Which is a glaring deviation from standard scientific protocol. Their CEO, David Kirtley, has explicitly stated they don't want to theorize, they just want to build hardware.
Right. Move fast and break things.
Exactly. But skipping peer review means the broader scientific community can't validate their math. They haven't proven they can maintain that plasma stability or generate electricity at a commercial scale yet. It is a massive, unverified leap of faith.
But the energy crisis isn't just about massive data centers. I mean, the desperate need to process AI efficiently without burning out servers is pushing companies to shrink these models so they can run locally on your devices.
Right, on the edge.
Which is exactly how Meta just smuggled facial recognition onto the bridge of your nose.
Ah, the Meta Ray-Ban smart glasses. Wired Magazine's recent investigation into this is just incredibly revealing about how ambient computing is evolving.
Oh, it's wild. Wired discovered that Meta has secretly embedded facial recognition code directly into the Meta AI companion app that runs those Ray-Ban glasses.
And that app has over 50 million downloads.
Yeah. 50 million.
Yeah.
Internally, Meta calls the feature Name Tag. And what's crazy is that this isn't just a simple cloud ping. It's a highly sophisticated local processing pipeline.
We really need to break down the mechanics of how this actually operates because it's not a simple camera filter.
Mm-hmm.
The app secretly contains three distinct locally hosted AI models working in sequence.
Right, running right on your phone.
Exactly. First, there's a detection model that constantly scans the physical environment looking for the mathematical geometry of a human face. Once it finds one, it hands off to a cropping model, which isolates that face from the background noise of, say, the street or a coffee shop. Finally, a biometric encoding model converts that isolated image into a unique biometric signature, a face print based on the exact distance between the eyes, the depth of the eye sockets, and the shape of the jawline.
And here is the kicker. If the app doesn't immediately recognize the person you are looking at, it quietly files that generated face print into a folder on your phone, literally labeled pending.
Which is just chilling.
It is. And to prove this system was fully operational and not just leftover code, this independent researcher named Bucciotti ran a fascinating test. He manually added a single face print of the deceased French philosopher Michel Foucault into the app's hidden gallery.
Right as a baseline.
Yeah. Then he put the glasses on and just looked at a physical photograph of Foucault. Instantly, the app popped up a notification saying, person recognized. The architecture is entirely functional. It is just sleeping in the pockets of 50 million people.
Now, Meta's official defense has been carefully worded. They argue that they haven't actually shipped the feature to consumers. They are merely exploring the architecture. And they explicitly stated, quote, we are not building a central face database.
I have to push back on that defense, though. I mean, if the database is distributed across 50 million individual smartphones, but Meta retains absolute control over the software updates, and Meta's servers can theoretically push new face print definitions to those devices at any moment, isn't that just a central database with extra steps?
It is effectively the exact same capability, just decentralized to avoid regulatory scrutiny. And looking at Meta's history, the skepticism is definitely warranted.
For sure.
Back in 2021, Meta made a very public spectacle of shutting down Facebook's facial recognition system. They deleted over 1 billion face prints. But that only happened after they faced a massive public backlash, a $5 billion fine from the FTC, and billions more in class action settlements under biometric privacy laws in states like Illinois and Texas.
So they retreated, retooled, and built it into the hardware instead.
Exactly. Woodrow Hartzog, a privacy law professor, describes this as the normalization trap. When you embed passive ambient surveillance into a stylish pair of sunglasses that millions of people already wear for fashion or convenience, society slowly becomes numb to the underlying mechanism.
You stop noticing it.
Right. You stop seeing the camera as a surveillance tool because it's framed as a helpful assistant that, you know, reminds you of a coworker's name.
Yeah.
But the mechanical reality is the absolute erosion of anonymity in public spaces.
Yeah, that's heavy. And while Meta is trying to brute force sophisticated AI locally onto your face, the traditional gaming industry is hitting a massive wall going the exact opposite direction. They are literally choking on local hardware limitations, and it's forcing a massive shift in how interactive entertainment is built.
The Xbox Series S bottleneck is becoming a defining issue for the current console generation.
Oh, completely. The CEO of Moon Studios just went on Discord and announced that the Xbox release of their highly anticipated action RPG, No Rest for the Wicked, has been indefinitely delayed. Yeah. It's launching on PS5 and PC this October, but the Xbox version is completely up in the air, and he flat out stated that the Xbox Series S is the reason, adding that its specs aren't too far off from a mobile phone at this point.
It's a harsh assessment, but when you look at the silicon architecture, it is mathematically accurate. The flagship Xbox Series X processes at 12.5 teraflops. The Series S only pushes 4 teraflops.
That's a huge drop.
It is. But processing power isn't the actual choke point. The fatal flaw is the memory architecture. The Series S only has 10 gigabytes of slower shared RAM compared to 16 gigabytes of high-speed RAM on the Series X and the PS5.
And when you're building a modern game, memory is everything. I mean, it dictates how fast you can stream high-resolution textures, how complex the physics engine can be, and how many unique objects can exist in the world at once. If you only have 10 gigs to work with, you physically cannot load the same level geometry. But the real issue is Microsoft's strict parity requirement. They legally force developers to ensure their game runs with feature parity on both the Series X and the Series S. You can't just release it for the powerful console.
You're tethered to the lowest common denominator.
Right. So developers globally are being forced to scale down their artistic vision to cater to the weakest link in the hardware chain.
It creates a massive economic drag on the entire development process. Studios are spending months optimizing code just to squeeze it into that 10 gigabyte footprint.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because while Microsoft is anchored to this underpowered plastic box, Amazon is completely pivoting away from consumer hardware limits entirely.
The Luna relaunch.
Yes. They just relaunched Luna, their cloud gaming service. But they completely abandoned their old strategy of trying to build heavy, expensive AAA games to compete with traditional consoles. Instead, they are rolling out a platform called Game Night.
It's a strategic pivot toward frictionless entry. Game Night is entirely focused on party games, and there is no console required.
Nothing to plug in.
Right. You don't even need a dedicated controller. You just use your smartphone to interact with the game running on your television.
And they are leaning heavily into AI to make these lightweight games highly dynamic. Like, they showcased an exclusive courtroom game where Snoop Dogg acts as the judge.
That sounds amazing.
It's so cool. But it's not pre-recorded audio files triggered by a script. It uses dynamic generative AI, so the character actually reacts in real time, synthesizing speech based on the specific chaotic things you and your friends are doing in your living room.
Amazon is executing a massive transmedia play here. Consider their other major announcement. They are taking over the publishing rights for the James Bond 007 video games from IO Interactive.
Wait, really?
Yeah. And remember, Amazon already owns MGM, the studio behind the James Bond films. They aren't just licensing the intellectual property. They are building a closed loop. They want to control the James Bond movies on Prime Video, the audiobooks on Audible, and the video games on Luna.
Total ecosystem control.
Exactly. They want to own the entire computing stack and the value chain without ever having to worry about whether you have a powerful enough graphics card or enough RAM in your living room. They process all the heavy lifting in their AWS cloud and just stream the pixels to whatever screen you happen to be looking at.
So they bypass the hardware bottleneck entirely by moving the processing off-site. But, you know, this drive to bypass hardware limitations and slash computing costs isn't isolated to video games. In the corporate sector, the desperation for cheaper AI is leading American companies straight into a geopolitical trap.
Yeah, the data from the latest RAMP report is incredibly revealing about corporate priorities right now.
So RAMP is a financial services company that tracks software spending across thousands of corporate clients. They just revealed that DeepSeek, a Chinese AI model, is the number one breakout sauce vendor for U.S. companies right now.
Number one.
Number one. It is being adopted at a staggering rate because it is roughly 5 to 10 times cheaper to run per token than OpenAI's ChatGPT or Anthropic's Claude.
And we should be clear, the model itself, particularly their R1 model for writing software code, is highly capable. The issue is the architecture of how these American companies are utilizing it.
All right.
If a U.S. company downloaded DeepSeek's open weight models and ran them locally on their own isolated internal servers, the security risk would be relatively contained. The data would stay inside their firewall. But that requires expensive local hardware, the exact hardware limits Amazon and Microsoft are struggling with. So instead, American companies are paying for DeepSeek's public API.
Right. They are typing their prompts directly into DeepSeek's hosted service. But wait, I have to ask, isn't that a bit alarmist? U.S. companies use foreign-hosted APIs and offshore software tools all the time for logistics, HR, and customer service. What makes typing a prompt into the DeepSeek API uniquely dangerous compared to any other global SaaS tool?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it comes down to the fundamental nature of what you put into an AI prompt versus a standard database and the specific legal framework governing those servers. When developers use an AI coding assistant, They aren't just sending basic telemetry. They are uploading proprietary source code, internal architectural documents, and massive blocks of customer records to give the AI context.
Oh, wow.
And DeepSeek's terms of service are completely transparent about what happens next. They explicitly state that all data is processed and stored in the People's Republic of China.
And that completely shifts the legal reality.
Precisely. Under Chinese national intelligence law, any organization operating within the PRC is legally required to cooperate with state intelligence requests. There is no warrant process, no subpoena requirement, and no independent judicial appeal like you would find in the U.S. legal system. If the state requests the prompt data, the company must hand it over.
It's like a company installing a glass wall in their highly classified R&D department facing the street simply because the glass was 50% cheaper than drywall.
That's a great way to put it.
They are routing their most sensitive intellectual properties straight over the internet.
It highlights a profound irony in the current U.S.-China tech war. The United States government has placed incredibly strict export controls on advanced AI chips, like NVIDIA's latest hardware, actively trying to prevent China from accessing the physical compute power needed to train massive models.
Yeah, the chip bans.
Exactly. Yet, simultaneously, American corporations are voluntarily packaging up their proprietary data and feeding it directly into the Chinese models that those restricted chips were meant to process.
And that corporate willingness to trade security for a massive discount mirrors exactly what everyday users are doing at home, trading their own hardware for the illusion of a free service. We see this mechanics play out perfectly in our final story from the June 2026 sources, the Hara Browser supply chain attack.
It is a textbook example of how the modern economics of malware operate.
So Hara Browser is a highly popular web browser that comes with a free built-in VPN. It boasts over 30 million users worldwide. But security researchers just discovered that the Windows version of the browser was fundamentally compromised. Attackers managed to hide a silent cryptocurrency miner directly inside the trusted installation file.
And the mechanism of how they delivered it is what makes a supply chain attack so insidious.
Yeah.
The attackers didn't try to hack 30 million individual computers. That's way too resource intensive.
Right.
Instead, they hacked the software developer's distribution pipeline. They breached Hara's build servers and injected their malicious code before the software was digitally signed and packaged. They poisoned the well at the source.
So when you go to the official legitimate website and click download update, your computer security systems see a valid digital signature from a trusted company and just let it right through.
Without a second thought.
And this isn't an isolated incident. CISA recently issued massive warnings about a spike in these exact types of attacks on other widely used utilities like daemon tools.
The strategy relies entirely on your inherent trust in the software ecosystem.
So what does this all mean? If the attack is completely silent and bypasses your antivirus because it comes from a trusted source, how does a user even know what's happening? If you download that browser update today, you aren't just risking your data, you are paying their server costs with your electric bill.
Exactly. Malware has fundamentally evolved. 10 years ago, the goal of a virus was to steal your passwords or lock your files for a one-time ransom payout. But a crypto miner is designed for passive income. It doesn't want to break your system. It wants to quietly steal your hardware real estate.
Right, it's a parasite.
Yeah. It hijacks your computer's CPU or GPU to solve complex cryptographic math problems that generate digital currency for the attacker.
It literally feeds on your local compute power.
It does. And while it hides from your antivirus, it cannot hide from physics. Processing complex math generates heat and requires massive amounts of electricity. So, if you notice your laptop's cooling fan constantly running at maximum speed like a jet engine,
or your machine is physically hot to the touch even when you only have a single PDF open.
Right. Or you open your task manager and see your CPU usage pinned at 100% for no logical reason that is not just a glitch or a sign of an aging machine, that is the physical footprint of someone else occupying your hardware.
You think you are getting a free VPN to protect your privacy, but the product is actually your graphics card, and you are subsidizing their crypto mining operation with your own utility bill.
You are trading physical resources for digital convenience.
So, looking at all these source materials from June 2026, a very clear, slightly unsettling picture emerges. We are navigating a landscape built entirely on hidden mechanisms and deep contradictions.
Absolutely.
We are promised infinite clean energy from fusion, but we are relying on unproven plasma physics to keep our massive AI data centers running today. We are sold stylish sunglasses to take quick photos, but we are secretly being enrolled in passive biometric surveillance networks that fundamentally alter public anonymity.
It's all trade-offs.
Yeah. We are promised next-gen interactive gaming, but the entire industry is being held back by the memory limits of cheap hardware, forcing a massive pivot to cloud streaming. And from Fortune 500 companies routing source code through foreign APIs to everyday users downloading free VPNs, everyone is blindly trading their sensitive data and local computing power for software that is suspiciously cheap.
The core takeaway from all of this is that passive consumption is no longer a viable strategy. You have to actively monitor your digital environment.
Be proactive.
Yes. Check your system resources and task managers. Actually read the data routing policies in the terms of service. Understand the physical constraints of the hardware you are buying. Critical thinking and an understanding of the underlying mechanics are your best defenses against an industry that moves at breakneck speed and relies on you focusing on the shiny output rather than the machinery.
Don't just look at what the technology does, look at how it's being paid for. Which leaves us with one final, lingering thought to mull over as we wrap up today's deep dive. If tech companies are already quietly normalizing facial recognition in our sunglasses and silently hiding crypto miners in our web browsers today, what invisible, unannounced features are they already building into the brain-computer interfaces or the smart biological implants of tomorrow?
It changes the entire definition of a hardware bottleneck.
Thanks for diving deep with us today. Keep your eyes open.